My whole life, I've been told this one story about my family, about how my great-great-grandmother was killed by the mafia back in Sicily. I was never sure if it was true, so I decided to find out. And even though my Uncle Jimmy told me I'd only be making the vendetta worse, I'm going to Sicily anyway. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Hello, from Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives women history has forgotten. We've always been intrigued by stories of disappearances, whether it's a fraudster from the 17th century who kept evading the authorities or a novelist who taunted the Nazis and faked her own death. We all want to know, what happened next? To find out, listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
In February of 2022, Cassandra Black Elk was a young mother of three living in Bismarck, North Dakota. Her girls were her whole world. Six-year-old DeLeza loved school and wanted to be a biologist. One-year-old Amaria already had a strong personality. Cassie called her their wild child. And Starlight was the baby, just 3 weeks old. On the evening of February 18th, Cassie was at home with the girls and Starlight's father, Seth Eagle.
Chilling, hanging out with my kids. We was watching a movie. We was cooking supper.
Seth left around midnight to go hang out with friends. Cassie fed Starlight and put the two oldest girls to bed. Then she lay down with Starlight beside her and fell asleep. She woke up around 6 a.m. to find Starlight wasn't breathing. DeLeza called 911, but it was already too late. Starlight was dead. And before she could fully process what had happened, the police were telling Cassie that she was under arrest for felony child neglect.
They were telling me somebody did something to Starlight. Somebody killed her.
Cassie knew that wasn't true, and she had one question for her lawyer. What does the autopsy report say?
I kept saying, well, what if it came back as I wasn't at fault? And then he was like telling me we could deal with that later.
But by the time she got the answer, it was too late. Cassie was already in prison.
I'm Cassie Black Elk, and I was wrongfully incarcerated for 11 months.
From Lava for Good, this is Wrongful Conviction with Maggie Freeling. Today, Cassandra Black Elk. Cassandra Black Elk was born August 4th, 1995, in Bismarck, North Dakota. She's a member of the Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe. Cassie grew up in Rapid City, South Dakota, the middle child of nine.
It was busy, chaotic. I'm closest to my three little sisters. We'd always play house, school, went swimming at the Y all the time. We just ran around the trailer park that we used to live in and hung out with all our friends, yeah.
Cassie had her first daughter, DeLeza, at 19 with a boyfriend from high school. At age 22, she decided to move back to Bismarck to go to school. She had plans to become a social worker. Cassie's second daughter, Amaria, was born in 2020.
And then Starlight. When was Starlight born?
January 25th, 2022.
How did you meet Starlight's dad?
Up here, hanging out with friends. Yeah, met the first year I moved up here.
Cassie and Seth Eagle moved in together. and at 26 years old, Cassie was happy to be a stay-at-home mom. She loved hanging out with her girls. Seth helped to support Starlight and Cassie's two older daughters with oil royalties he received as a member of the MHA tribe, the Mandan, Haidatsa, and Arikara Nation. On the evening of February 18th, 2022, Cassie, Seth, and the girls were all at home together.
So what do you remember from that night? Like, how did the night start? Just tell me, I guess, from the beginning.
I don't know. We was hanging out after my oldest got back from school. We was watching a movie. We was cooking supper. Barbecue chicken, steamed veggies, and mashed potatoes.
At what point you and Seth got in an argument, yes?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, we was kind of fighting throughout that whole day, really.
As the evening went on, Cassie and Seth began drinking. And when their fight turned physical, Cassie ended up with a bloodied ear. Finally, Seth stormed out to go see some friends.
Yeah, he was there all the way up until, I don't know, about midnight, one or something.
Yeah. And what'd you do when he left?
Fed my daughter and laid down with them.
So when you guys go to sleep, everything was normal?
I thought it was normal. I don't know. I didn't think I was going to wake up to everything gone.
What do you remember waking up? It's okay, Cassie.
My daughter gone. She was stiff and cold.
I was freaking out. My oldest had to call 911.
And then when the police got there, what happened?
Well, right away, they were questioning me at my house. I wasn't even with them in my house for a full 10 minutes. They wanted to know what happened there. I was trying to get a hold of someone to get a hold of Seth, and they told me I needed to get off my phone. They noticed I had a bloody ear, and after that, they told me I needed to go to the police station.
And then what happens at the police station?
They start questioning me.
Were they questioning or were they kind of telling you?
Oh, yeah. They were telling me their story.
Which was what? What was their story?
Somebody did something to Starlight. Somebody killed her.
So that first interrogation that she goes into is actually 3 hours long. And you can imagine the state that she was in, given the timing of the interrogation. My name is Jim Mayer, and I'm a managing attorney with the Great North Innocence Project. The officers doing the interrogation are convinced and have jumped to the conclusion that Cassie has done something to the baby. They begin their interrogation by telling her that the child had bruising, that they could tell the child had some injury. They start to speculate that maybe there was some kind of abusive event, maybe there was shaking. They start describing the symptoms of shaken baby syndrome to her and how that could have happened.
Remember, this is just a few hours after Cassie had found Starlight lifeless beside her. The officers telling her all this were not trained medical professionals. And the body had not even been examined yet.
It sounded to me like one of those officers had recently been to a training and learned about shaken baby syndrome, which of course is a highly controversial and dubious diagnosis, as any of us who work in this industry know. But he started explaining to Cassie in this interrogation room what happens when you shake a baby and how, you know, that seemed to fit the situation that she was in. Couldn't have been further from the truth. But he was insisting that that was probably what had happened here and trying to get her to confess to it. She continued throughout this interrogation to insist that there were no injuries, that the baby was fine when she had given her a bottle and swaddled her and put her to bed around 1 or 2 in the morning, and that there was no injury.
So the officers ramped up their interrogation.
They would try all of these techniques, like telling her, you didn't mean to do it. Whatever you did was an accident. You just lost control. That maybe the baby was crying. Maybe the baby couldn't sleep. Maybe she got frustrated and just lost control and shook the baby. Just tell us that you're a person who needs help and not an evil person, right? And then things will go better for you. Or they would tell her that, you know, the autopsy is going to come back and it's going to show there's trauma. You're much better off if you just tell us now what you did. It's going to go better for a jury. They even told her that Child Protective Services had taken her other two children and that she wouldn't get them back unless she was willing to say what it was she did to this baby to cause its death, which of course put her in an impossible situation because she didn't do anything and she knew she didn't do anything, nor had her boyfriend. And so she maintained her innocence throughout this interrogation despite the pressure that they put on her.
Did you start questioning yourself at any point? Were you wondering, like, maybe I did roll over on her? Because she was in the bed with you, right?
Yeah, but no, because the way I had her sleeping, she was at a slant away from me. And my girls were on the other side. And I woke up in the same spot. Literally, like, the same way when I went to bed.
3 days later, on February 22nd, Cassie was charged with felony child neglect. That same day, state medical examiner Dr. Barry Miller performed an autopsy on Starlight. The autopsy was attended by the state's attorney, Julie Lawyer, and several officers from the Bismarck Police Department. While they were still awaiting the autopsy results, Cassie's case was going forward. She was assigned to public defender James Loras.
And the first thing that happens is they have a bail hearing. The prosecution comes in and says, look, this is an infant death case. We need to set bail at a high level. She couldn't meet it, so she's stuck. She's behind bars, awaiting trial. She's got two young children from whom she's separated at this, you know, incredibly traumatic time. So that's one layer of pressure that was added to her.
And I guess maybe I'm missing something, but how is she able to be charged without even having a medical diagnosis? Can they do that? I mean, I've never seen that.
The charging documents in her case, which came out on February 19th, what they said was, we know that she was responsible for the death, but we don't yet know the mechanism of the death pending the autopsy results. So it was just a perfect example of a rush to a conclusion with really no solid foundation for it whatsoever, just assumptions that were made. Then when a plea deal is offered by the prosecution, her lawyer urges her to take the deal.
Well, he said that they were considering of 2 years. And he was going to talk to them and see if he could get it down to 18 months. And that's when it went to 18 months that following week.
Her attorney was trying to rush Cassie into taking the plea because he knew that the prosecutor was leaving for private practice in a few weeks. After that, he said, the deal might be off the table.
And he says things like, you'll be out before you know it. You're pleading guilty. You'll get a 5-year sentence, but you'll only serve about 18 months and you'll be out before you know it. Cassie was resistant to that for good reason. She kept saying, I know I didn't do anything to my child. I'm innocent. When can we see a copy of the autopsy report?
I kept asking him for the autopsy. I kept saying, well, what if it came back as I wasn't at fault?
Ultimately, what her lawyer says to her is, you're getting ahead of yourself. For now, just plead guilty. If the autopsy comes back favorable to you, we'll deal with that later.
How did that make you feel when he was like, no, no, and just kind of brushed something so important aside?
Like, it didn't matter. I don't think it mattered to anybody how Starlight passed away.
At her lawyer's urging, Cassie finally gave in and pled guilty to the charge of felony child neglect. The plea deal did not mention Starlight's death. It simply said that Cassie had willfully failed to provide proper parental care or control necessary for the physical health of her baby. She received a sentence of 5 years, with all but 18 months of it suspended. Because Seth was not the father of the two older girls, they were placed in foster care. Cassie was sent to the Dakota Women's Correctional Center in New England, North Dakota.
What was prison like?
Well, I don't recommend it to nobody. Everybody says it's a cakewalk and whatnot, but it wasn't. It's like hell. It's just hell.
When you first got in there, did you tell anybody, like, I don't belong here? I didn't do this?
Yep, I told everyone that every day. A lot of girls in there are just content with that life. Not me. I said, that's not me. That's not my life. I couldn't relate to half their stories. I just didn't know what to say to half of them. I was always just angry because I felt like I shouldn't have been in jail. Everybody heard it from me. I don't know, I lost my daughter. None of that made sense. None of it was okay. So I was always mad.
So here she is. She's pled guilty. She's been sentenced. She's in prison serving her sentence. And her lawyer had essentially told her that he couldn't help her get the autopsy report at that point. But she didn't give up. She kept working on her own to get a copy of it.
Cassie called the medical examiner's office in Bismarck over and over from prison, asking for the report. Finally, she was able to fill out an online form to have it mailed to her. And then she waited and waited. 3 months went by.
And then eventually she gets that copy, I think sometime in July of 2022, where she gets to read, you know, the story of what actually happened to her baby for the first time.
You're listening to Wrongful Conviction with Maggie Freeling. You can listen to this and all the Lava for Good podcasts 1 week early and ad-free by subscribing to Lava for Good Plus on Apple Podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross.
Tiffany Cross.
I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation.
I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating.
And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. I'm Abby, a mother of two, and I had these battles myself. Endless excuses, delay tactics, and many tears and tantrums. But I've created a solution. The perfect kids podcast that makes bedtime a dream. It's called Koala Moon, and it's hosted by me, Abby. With over 300 episodes, packed with original stories and sleep meditations, Koala Moon makes bedtimes easy and enjoyable. Episodes start out engaging and really rather magical, but as they progress, they gently slow to a calm and relaxing pace to have your little ones out like a light. Since launching in 2022, Koala Moon has helped with over 20 million nights sleep and received over 6,000 five-star reviews. Win back your evenings. Listen to Koala Moon now on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, ready to discover a new educational and interactive podcast for kids? Join Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids, where episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We learned how to recycle at the beach.
That was great fun. Callie, what do you say?
It was. And that time when we did the science experiment and Billy made raisins dance.
That is so cool, Billy.
He did. Not to mention when a certain Elliot took up swimming classes with Lisa.
That was me.
Bet you can't catch me.
I'm going to get you.
All this fun and more in our Stories for Kids. Lingo Kids Stories for Kids is now available on StoryButton, the kid-friendly device for screenless podcast listening. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dr. Miller's final autopsy report was dated May 27, 2022, 2 weeks after Cassie entered her plea. And it confirmed what she had always known, what she had tried to tell everyone, that she hadn't done anything to hurt her baby. There was no evidence of neglect, trauma, or abuse. Three-week-old Starlight had died of unexplained sudden infant death syndrome.
Do you remember that moment when you got it and reading it?
Yeah.
I felt a whole lot of relief, but didn't really do much. I was just sat there crying because there was nothing I could do. I was already sent in prison.
My name's Adam Martin. I'm 10 years sober, formerly incarcerated, have multiple felonies on my background.
Adam is the founder and CEO of the F5 Project, a nonprofit based in Fargo, North Dakota. It provides the formerly incarcerated with support and reentry resources.
You know, all my friends were either dying or going to prison. And so after the last friend had went to prison and then a couple had overdosed off fentanyl or heroin or whatever, I just felt like I wanted to do something different than what was being done. There was no real plan to start it. I just started going into the jail and trying to help guys that were being released. Really just through storytelling. I didn't have any services or resources or anything. And then what happened is that the guys started calling me when they were getting out of prison or jail, and I didn't have anything. So I just let them sleep on my couch. And then it turned into 7 years later, we have over 60 employees in that we're in 9 different cities and have 3 transitional house or 3 cities that we have transitional houses in.
Okay, so what is Fargo, North Dakota like? Yeah. I mean, maybe tell me a little bit about the demographic. I mean, we know Cassie is indigenous. Mm-hmm. So tell me a bit about it.
Yeah, so the landscape is, you know, obviously it's like 85% white. We have, there's not even 1 million people in North Dakota. Okay, so there's like 770,000. Of that 770, about 240,000 identify as having a criminal conviction. And so we're about 28% of our general population identify as that, which is about 3% higher than the national average. Of that, Native Americans or indigenous people account for around 5% of the population, but they account for 25% of the prison population. And so a lot of the stuff that we see nationally trending is similar here, but just with different groups and then higher percentages.
Adam's work with F5 led him to joining the board of the Great North Innocence Project, where he met Jim. In August of 2022, they went together to speak about their organizations at the New England Women's Prison.
And so this young Native American woman came up to me, and she was very timid, and wouldn't, she couldn't even look me in the eye. She was shaking. She was teary-eyed. And she just, all she said to me was, "I don't belong here."
Cassie told Adam that she was in prison for killing her baby, but she was innocent. And then she told him about the autopsy report.
And I've been in court enough to know that autopsy reports are a big deal, right? And the fact that it came out after she was convicted sent off a red flag. And I was like, okay, well, what did it say? And she said that my baby died of SIDS. And so I introduced her right there to James. And when we left the prison, James came up to me and he was like, "We have a case. She has a case and we're going to get her released."
In a way, her story was just so simple and straightforward. You know, you tell a lot of these stories and you see how convoluted they can be. Cassie's story is not convoluted at all. There was a tragic death of her baby that could not have been prevented by anyone.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross.
Tiffany Cross.
I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation.
I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating.
And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. I'm Abby, a mother of two, and I had these battles myself. Endless excuses, delay tactics, and many tears and tantrums. But I've created a solution. The perfect kids podcast that makes bedtime a dream. It's called Koala Moon, and it's hosted by me, Abby. With over 300 episodes, packed with original stories and sleep meditations, Koala Moon makes bedtimes easy and enjoyable. Episodes start out engaging and really rather magical, but as they progress, they gently slow to a calm and relaxing pace to have your little ones out like a light. Since launching in 2022, Koala Moon has helped with over 20 million nights sleep and received over 6,000 five-star reviews. Win back your evenings. Listen to Koala Moon now on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, ready to discover a new educational and interactive podcast for kids? Join Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids, where episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We learned how to recycle at the beach.
That was great fun. Callie, what do you say?
It was. And that time when we did the science experiment and Billy made Raisin's dance.
That is so cool, Billy.
He did. Not to mention when a certain Elliot took up swimming classes with Lisa.
That was me.
Bet you can't catch me.
I'm going to get you.
All this fun and more in our Stories for Kids. Lingo Kids Stories for Kids is now available on StoryButton, the kid-friendly device for screenless podcast listening. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
In December of 2022, Jim moved to vacate Cassie's conviction, citing the autopsy report as new evidence, and also that Cassie's attorney had provided ineffective representation by advising her to take the plea. An evidentiary hearing was held on January 19th, 2023, before Judge Daniel Borgen.
We presented the testimony from the medical examiner herself. She testified about the fact that there was no trauma in this case, that there was no evidence that the death resulted from something Cassie did or did not do.
Dr. Miller told the court that she would have been willing to share her preliminary findings with the defense prior to the final report, but Cassie's defense attorney never asked for it. The prosecution, however, knew all along what it would say.
One of the claims we made in our petition was that the state's attorney was present at the autopsy, so she knew that the autopsy was not showing any signs of trauma, and yet she managed to extract a guilty plea without disclosing what she knew.
But in addition to the evidence they had, Jim knew that in order to present the most effective case, Cassie would have to testify.
And I was a little nervous about telling her that because she was so quiet and soft-spoken, I thought that would scare her. And she said something like, "I'm ready, I can do that." And I just thought, wow, she's come a long way in the few months that I've known her in terms of her confidence. And part of that was just that she was ready to tell her story.
So Cassie took the stand and told Judge Borgen everything that had happened.
The conversations with her defense lawyer where she's professing her innocence and saying, I want the autopsy. And he's telling her, just take this plea. We'll deal with that later. She tells that entire story. And her testimony was very, very credible, which the judge found. And that was a big reason why he granted relief.
Cassie was released from prison the next day, pending a new trial.
And one of the North Dakota Supreme Court justices actually wrote separately to say that with the new evidence of the autopsy report, it's very likely that she would be acquitted at trial as a matter of law because they just didn't have the evidence.
At that point, Jim says, the state had a decision to make.
Do they now let the case go or do they choose to recharge her? Again, very disappointed to learn from them that they plan to continue to prosecute. So they shifted their theory to say that because Cassie had been drinking alcohol that night, regardless of whether that had anything to do with her baby's death, that in and of itself, drinking alcohol while you have children at home, is felony child neglect. And so they pursued the case on that theory.
Has that ever been a precedent that was set before? Drinking equals felony child neglect?
I have not seen an example where that fact alone was constituting felony child neglect. That really makes you wonder, in terms of a charging decision, whether a middle-class white mother who'd had a few glasses of wine at the ballet and was still under the influence when she relieved the nanny would be charged. I seriously doubt it. I spoke to a lot of other defense lawyers about this, you know, in other states around the country. And what I heard mostly was, your client's not white, is she? I said, no, she isn't. So I guess sometimes drinking while being non-white and in charge of children could get you in some more trouble than other folks would see. I think some assumptions were made based on who Cassie is and what she looks like and what community she comes from. I also think that on all sides of the issue, people didn't think that it was such a big deal for Cassie to go to prison for 18 months. I mean, even her own lawyer told her something to the effect of, you'll be home before you know it. She'd never been in prison before. This was a totally new experience for her. So the idea that it wouldn't be such a big deal to go to prison for 18 months is just shocking.
After Judge Borgen's ruling, the state continued with its efforts to prosecute Cassie. But when the judge ordered them to identify specific conduct from Cassie that constituted felony child neglect, they were unable to do so because she wasn't guilty. So on October 19th, 2023, the state moved to dismiss the charges. Cassie was finally free. Adam remembers seeing her reunited with her two daughters.
I got a picture of when they were all hanging out and they were hugging her, and I was an emotional wreck. Just the moment of joy that she's feeling at that moment in closure was inspiring for sure.
Since then, Adam and F5 have been helping Cassie to rebuild her life outside of prison.
I've often played out the scenario, like, what person would it be the hardest for in reentry? And in my opinion, especially here, Native American female that's being released from prison that has a bunch of felonies on her background is by far going to be the most stigmatized, you know?
One of the worst things that happened to her was that when she was arrested, she was absolutely savaged in the Bismarck media. You know, her mugshot was plastered on the front pages of papers with a headline suggesting that she was a baby killer, right? That she'd been arrested for killing her own child. And that was so awful for her to see that and to have that be the story about her, to have her name associated with that. I think it started to feel empowering for her to take back her name and take back her own narrative.
And so through all that stuff that she's been through, that negative mindset that exists is basically just one big ball of trauma. And so if your listeners are, you know, praying people, or if they're, you know, thoughtful people, just having her in your thoughts and just sending her good vibes and good prayers is going to be, she's going to need it because she's got a long journey ahead of her.
Eventually, Cassie hopes to return to Rapid City and to school. For now, she's just enjoying spending time with DeLeza and Emaria. She says that being separated for all those months took a toll on their relationship, and she's working to rebuild that bond. And Cassie says all three of them need time to heal from losing Starlight.
I'm traumatized. It's traumatizing losing my baby. But I went through a lot more with it. Like, even my babies, my 3-year-old and my 8-year-old are affected, not just me.
How often do you think about her, Cassie?
Every day.
Yeah.
Yep. I see my 2 oldest and I always think, how would it have been with all 3? We all still talk about my daughter. My oldest always talks about, because she remembers how she was. She was a calm little baby. My 3-year-old, she doesn't understand it. She kind of makes me laugh. She thinks she carries my Starlight in her stomach. Whenever she gets really full or she's done eating a snack, she'll say Starlight's making her stomach hurt because...
It looks like she's pregnant.
Yep. Yep. She's really funny with all that. We're like 3 peas in a pod.
Yeah.
I always tease everybody and say we're cool out in public. We'll get along, all 3 of us. But we get back in our house, it's chaos. Just us 3.
If you'd like to help support Cassie and her daughters as they restart their life together, there's a GoFundMe for her. We'll have that link in the episode description. And if you'd like to know more about the Great North Innocence Project and the F5 Project, please check out their links on the page as well. Thank you for listening to Wrongful Conviction with Maggie Freeling. Please support your local innocence organizations and go to the links in the episode description to see how you can help. I'd like to thank our executive producers, Jason Flom, Jeff Kempler, and Kevin Wordis, as well as senior producer Annie Chelsea, producer Kathleen Fink, story editor Hannah Beal, and researcher Shelby Sorrells. Mixing and sound design are by Jackie Pauly, with additional production by Jeff Clyburn and Connor Hall. The music is by 3-time Oscar-nominated composer Jay Ralph. Be sure to follow us on all social media platforms at Lava for Good and at Wrongful Conviction. You can also follow me on all platforms at Maggie Freeling. Wrongful Conviction with Maggie Freeling is a production of Lava for Good podcasts in association with Signal Company No. 1.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's No. 1 podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
My whole life, I've been told this one story about my family, about how my great-great-grandmother was killed by the mafia back in Sicily. I was never sure if it was true, so I decided to find out. And even though my Uncle Jimmy told me I'd only be making the vendetta worse, I'm going to Sicily anyway. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, from Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. We've always been intrigued by stories of disappearances, whether it's a fraudster from the 17th century who kept evading the authorities, or a novelist who taunted the Nazis and faked her own death. We all want to know, what happened next? To find out, listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.